So our next speaker is Jürgen. He's going to be talking to us about ASP.NET Core.
Customization.
Mm-hmm. Let's get him brought in here. There we go. We'll fly from London.
Get ready. Get your wings out.
Get your wings out. Here we go.
That's a slow flight than the last flight.
Well, it's not going as far. It's taking about the same amount of time.
That makes sense. There's the boot.
Oh. And there we go. We're going into Germany. And where'd it go? There's Jürgen. We've got your screen. And I think we hear you there. Go ahead, Jürgen. Go ahead, you there, Jürgen?
We're good. You can start.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jürgen, and today I'm going to show you some ASP.NET Core. A lot of demo for me. I'm a .NET web front-end developer, so I like to do the whole stack from top, from HTML, CSS, JavaScript to C Sharp. I'm a Microsoft MVP for developer technologies, as it's called now. I'm blogging on ASP.NET-Shaker.rocks. And yeah, I also write articles on the German Dev magazines, leading a user group in Basel, and maybe the last in an organization worldwide, I'm sure. I'm working in Switzerland, so I live in southern Germany, work in Switzerland, in Basel, the UBS company. And yeah, I love projects from me on GitHub. Also, the sources of the demos I do are on GitHub. The link is in the slide. Yeah, that's the agenda for today. We go over 10 different topics, and because I switched the topics during the demos, it's okay to ask questions after demo. That's absolutely fine for me. So the first topic is about logging, how you customize your logging or add a custom logger, whatever you want to do. And we go through configuration, dependency injection, HTTPS, and hosted services. What I really like the hosted services to do something in the background. And then we go through middleware, output formatters, model blindness, section filters can help us. As you can see, we're going from the C-sharp backend up to the view. You know, let's start. So I'll switch off PowerPoint here because we don't need it anymore. And go to the console. First I can do, I will do is go to vector topic to different solution folders. So the first one is CD. I go to the first one about logging and create a new MVC application. So I'm really a fan of the console and the code, so I do a lot of stuff in the console. Same as creating new ASP.NET Core projects. In that case, I create an MVC project. I'll name it a logging sample and put it into an output directory called the logging sample. So create that. And that's all the NuGet packs. Needs after that ICD to that folder and open that project in code. So we use this huge console here to see more of the output. What the later do adding was we looked to the output, and it's more detailed here in the bigger console than in the terminal and just the code. That's my opinion. So project's open. And also live code because it starts really fast. Yeah, let's have a look into the logging. In previous versions, we had some logging configuration in the startup. That's not there anymore since 2.0, I think. It's now encapsulated and hidden in the default configuration. Here, when we create the web post, we create it with the default builder, and the configuration the logging now is inside this. So, able to override the logging configuration, adding or using an extension method to configure logging. And what you see here is exactly what the same what that is hidden inside. So there's a login configuration that's loaded from the app settings JSON, and then a console logger or debug and a debug logger is added to the logging here. So that's pretty much it. So we don't have any logging into a file or logging into a database or whatever. So what I want to do now here is to create a custom logger and put it into this configuration. So what I need to have first is something like a logging configuration that's needed in my case. So I will configure the logger to handle specific log levels. In this case, it's a warning level. I have an event ID, which I want to handle, and a color. This is a simple color console logger. In that case, it's nothing sensible, but it describes how we can create a custom logger here. So after that, we need a logger provider. This is the thing that gets put it into the logging configuration above. We'll see it later on. You need to add some dependencies here. Yeah. And last but not least, we need to add the actual logger. So I copy paste code snippets from the other window because I'm pretty sure you don't want to see me typing code here. It's too much. So, and that's the actual logger. It derives from iLogger. Here we get the configuration in here. We can set an iLogger name and so on. We can create a scope if needed. We can figure out whether it's enabled or not. And that's the actual log function here. And what this logger does, it is it creates a colored output of specific log levels. So nothing special here. So now we need to add it to the configuration. So first thing we do is we clear the providers. And we add a new configuration here. So, and then we add the new logger provider. That's our colored console logger provider, and we pass in the configuration. So all information log infos should be colored in red. So let's try it out. Go back to the console and write .NET run. And we already should see some red log entries here. So we still use the console logger here and the debug logger. Yeah. So this is the information log info. And let's get colored in red. Doesn't make sense, actually. But it's nice to see how the logger and logger provider works. So and all the other informations are also coded in red. So a more real world scenario is to add a real logging engine. So for example, Nlog. So to add Nlog, we need to add a package to a project. So I shut that down, clear the screen, and say .NET add package Nlog web.asp.net core from NuGet. I'll load that. So it's in. Also need to add some usings, Nlog extensions, logging, Nlog web, and then I need to add Nlog config. Usually Nlog is configured using XML config file, so that gets loaded here, and add the actual Nlog logging provider. So I'll comment that out. So the next thing is we need to add the Nlog config to a project. And I'll paste some XML in. So what this configuration does is to define two different logging things. One is to log all stuff, and the other logs only custom log entries. So this is defined here. This one adds all, and this one only adds Microsoft dot something. So let's run it again. Hope this is the right path. Yeah, it seems so. So we should get one configuration file, one logging file here in our folder. So let's start it again. And let's have a look into our working folder. One second. Yep, here's our Nlog logging file. So let's do something on the web. Just sticking around, it does something. And now let's have a look into that file. Oh, it opens on the wrong window. I have three monitors here. So that's the log file. So in this way, you're able to create your own custom logging providers or add some other loggers like Log4Net or whatever you want to add. Nlog is nice because it already has Nlog logger provider implemented, and you can simply plug that in. So, yeah, any questions? If no, we'll jump to the next topic. Okay, I hear. So let's jump to the next one. So I go to the configuration part. Also, this can be customized. Also here, I create a new MVC project. The same way, different names, different output folder. Oh, we can close this editor. And that was the wrong path. I need to cd to the configure sample. So, like this. And like the logging part, there's also no configure thing here in the startup as on previous versions. So we only have this configuration. This is already configured. We get this, that passed in into the startup and can use it. And the actual configuration is also hidden inside the default builder. So here as well, we can override all these configurations here. So, and this is also exactly what is configured inside the default builder. So we have this environment here, which gets passed in with this builder context. This environment tells us whether we are in dev or in development mode or production or staging mode. We also set the base path. That's the content root path. This should be the .dev root folder here. And we add some JSON files. We have the app settings JSON, and we have the app settings something JSON. So something is the environment name here. And we see that here. We have the app settings.json and the app settings.development.json. So the second one is optional. And the first one is not optional. So the second one is able to override the settings from the first one. So that's pretty clear. That's standard. We also load the environment variables, usually as the last instance. So we'll customize some things here, and the environment variables configuration should be the last one, just to override all the previously defined settings. So let's have a look here. That's the standard app settings JSON. Simply put another node here and call it app settings. We have a setting called foo and another setting called bar. And to load that app settings in is pretty easy and straightforward. So this is simply done by creating a app settings class. I do it here in a startup. Usually you should do it in a separate file. That's my app settings class. And I'm able to load that in the service configuration. We configure our app settings class with this configuration section called app setting. So then we can use the app settings in our home controller. It's also pretty clear. So I'll just do it now. Yeah, that's our app setting. We pass it in with an iOptions object. And yeah, we access our app settings via the value object of this iOption object. And then we use that. This time I implement all the stuff here because we need to test some more configurations later on. So I go to the index. CSHTML and pass in some more simpler code than that. So I'll delete that. And just show the title and the message. So let's do that. Just to see that our app settings class is working. So it's building, let's call the homepage. Yeah, we get that bar from our configuration. It's that thing here. So what we also can do, we can load settings from different other files. So let's go back to the program CS. Let's see what else we have in the config object here. So we have the add command line, so we can use our command line options to configure our applications. We can create an in-memory collection, which is our a key value collection. We can load key per file. So each file name is there's a configuration key, and the content of the file is the content of the configuration value. Or user secrets, which is built in, I think. We can load configurations from XML files and as well from any files here. Let's try this. So I called it app settings ini. Also use these other options here. So these methods look pretty equal. This should also be an ini file. And then we are able to create an app settings ini. So app settings.ini. Let's add some values. I only set the bar value here. And this should work. Now we should get the value foo bar presented on the index page. So let's rerun that. Refresh the page. Yeah, now it's foo bar. That's the value from the ini file. So from the community, there are a lot more configuration providers available for YAML, for example, or maybe for to load configuration from a database or whatever. And you're also able to create your own configuration providers here. So, are there any questions about this topic? Okay, so let's stop that. Jump to the next one.
We actually do have a few questions, so if you want to take some now.
Yeah, sure.
So we had some questions here.
Yeah, feel free to ask.
Let me scroll back. No, we don't. Actually,
we had a few.
There was a question about console log.
Yeah, so Jürgen, there was a question about console
I'm
log.
Just typing. If you want to ask some questions from the audience, then feel free to do it.
Unmute him.
We have one coming right now.
So there was a question about console log, and when you were using console log, you wrapped it with a lock. When you wrote your console logger, was that because it's not thread safe?
Oh, I can't hear you anymore. Sorry, the audio stopped.
You can't hear us.
Sorry, buddy. We had a question about console log, and
You wrapped it in a lock statement. Is that because it's not thread safe?
You're talking about the custom logger, right?
Right. And we were wondering if it wasn't thread safe, and that's why you wrapped it.
I've wrapped it because I want to log in the right order. I want to confuse with the order, but maybe we don't need this. I had some issues with the coloring that there was a race condition between the different log entries then, so that the wrong log entries get colored in the wrong color.
Oh, that makes sense. That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Let's continue with that. Next topic is dependency injection. That's one of my favorite topics because I maintain the Lightcore project, which is a pretty fast dependency injection container. I also tried it to get it running on ASP.NET Core. And you're really able to replace the existing dependency injection container with a custom one. And in this demo, I try to do that with the what's its name? Autofac, I do it with Autofac. So the project is done, cd to di sample. Also open that in a new code window, close that. Oops, close that. Code dot to open the new project. So the first thing I'll do in the startup, I create a small service class under DTO just to demo the dependency injection. I'll put it here just to keep it simple. So this is sometimes the code formatting shortcut doesn't work. This is a small service which creates a list of 25 persons. Yeah, we need that. And we also need a dependency here, another NuGet package, which I really like. It's genfoo.net add package genfoo. And this is a really small useful library to create test data. Now it's in. Change back to code. We need to restore it here. The small pop-ups also shows up if I do a restore in the console. I don't know why. So I use genfoo here. So I'm going to create a list of persons, of 25 persons in that case. So let's go back to the startup. So the configuration of the DI container is done in the configure service. So we get a service collection here, and we can add a lot more services. We get some services here, some options, and we get a bunch of services inside this at MVC. So I recently counted all the services registered in a standard ASP.NET Core application, and including, I think, security identity stuff and so on. And we have 140 services then registered without the custom ones. So, to add an own dependency injection container, we need to change this method to configure services a little bit. So it's absolutely legal to change the signature. So I can return an ICE service provider, and I'm able to create a service provider out of the service collection. Services build service provider. Yeah, that's it. So this still works. So this is absolutely okay to change the method like this. So what I wanted first to demonstrate dependency injection is to change the home controller a little bit. Because I jump a little bit around here. So I request the ICE service inside the home controller. And I changed the Razor view of, let's use the about view a little bit. So that's the smallest one, yeah. Well, let's use contact. Makes more sense. So I add a for each loop here, and the rest is done later, right? No, I'll go back to the controller and change this part. So I use the iService, request all persons, and return the persons back to the view. So we have a list of persons in the view. We need to change the model a little bit. The model and I enumerable of person. I think it's DI sample person. That person, yeah, that should work. Okay. So, and then back to startup. Let's try whether this is working or not. So I registered the service here. So currently it's still the, that's a little bit wrong, service add transient. So I'm a little bit too fast here. Sorry about that. So we have the A service and my service, and then, so that should be the default registration way. Yeah. So let's surely need to have a look whether this is working or not. .NET run. So I want to ensure that all the service collection configuration is working before I replace the DI container with the autofuck. So that looks good. Let's go to the contact page. And this is working too. So here we have the list of persons generated by Genfoo. So until now, this is the default dependency injection we should use in ASP.NET Core. So now let's replace this with autofuck. To do this, we need autofuck extension. This is a NuGet package. So we call .NET add package again. This autofuck.extensions.dependencyinjection. Let's load that. Okay. We need to restore it. And then we can add the autofuck configuration. So these are some lines of code. This could be wrapped in a different method. I'm gonna put it in here. So we don't return the standard build service, standard service provider. We use the service provider from autofuck in that case. So autofuck works the same way as Lightcore. So we need to create a container builder first to create the DI container. And the container builder then builds the actual container. So this is a property we need to add here. So we store it in the startup to reuse it. And then the application container, container gets passed into the autofuck service provider. You can also create your own service provider if you want to maybe support some other dependency injection. I'm not sure if Ninject currently brings his own service provider. Well, when I last tried it, I needed to create the service container by myself. So, and this is special here, because we need to register all the already registered services inside the autofuck container. So that's what this method does. So it collects all the services from the service collection and puts the services or registered the services inside the container builder. So this should work. And we can remove this registration and activate that one. So this is the autofuck way to register services. So we register a type as a contract. Okay, well, this should work too. Let's rerun it. So when should you replace the default dependency injection container? Usually it doesn't make sense, so, because the current one works pretty well. But there are some other dependency injection containers with nice features. For example, Ninject can have a look into a folder and search for assemblies with the right services inside, and so on. So there's an auto registration in Ninject, for example. And maybe you like these features and want to use it in ASP.NET Core 2. Okay, it's working. on every refresh, we get a new list because it's implemented like this. But you see, it's working. We get this list of persons here. Good. Okay. Do we have questions about this topic? I think I need to get a little bit faster through the topics here. Okay. Let's go back. Oops. So next one is HTTPS. That's a small one. let's create the project. And open that. HTTPS is enabled by default since 2.1, I think. But currently it's working using the Windows certificate store on Windows. And on Linux and Mac, you can pass in your own certificate file. And sometimes I really like the idea to use specific certificate file instead of using the certificate store in Windows. And you can use this in ASP.NET Core and Windows too. So let's open that. As you can see in the startup, we already have some configurations about HTTPS. So we have an HTTPS redirection here, so that redirects the HTTP request to HTTPS. I also have this HSTS middleware here to enforce a certificate validation. And also hidden in the programs here, as we have the configuration of HTTPS. So Kestrel is already listening on the HTTPS port. So this is configured in the program, also hidden in that method. We can also override this. So, and to use our own certificate file, we can add a port here, which should be listened on. We register the address, the port, and some listen options. And these options enables HTTPS on that port, and we can add a certificate file here. So this is a certificate PFX and a top secret password. And also this should work if I drag and drop the certificate in here. That doesn't work here. So I'll drop that in. So that should be, that's weird, I don't see that. It was a Dropbox error. So the certificate is here now. Here it is. Well, we can start that up, start and run. Oh, the wrong button. Anyway, this won't work because of the wrong host name. Currently, the certificate is created for localhost and not for this IP address. But if I try to run that, it will work. So it's a secure connection with a custom certificate file. So usually on Windows, you should use the certificate store, but sometimes it's easier maybe to change to a specific file. Or in a special case, when you want to run the applications on Mac, Linux, and Windows without different configurations, maybe. So okay, that's about HTTPS. And the next one is, the next topic is about the hosted services. So Relay hosted service is a feature to run a task in the background of an application. So this is also a quick demo. Let's create a new MVC application. And cd hosted services, open that in code. Also to keep it simple, I put the hosted service class in the startup. So what's that? No document formatter for C# files. No, it worked previously. So let's do it like this. So the hosted service is derived from hosted service. It's a simple class, nothing special here. We pass in the logger here because I want to show the background task via the console logging. And we have a start async method and a stop async method. And usually we start doing the task in the start async class and clean up some things in the stop async method, not class, sorry. And then we create a new task factory and do some stuff in a while loop here. So it's only about logging. It waits for 2 seconds and then continuous logging. So pretty simple. So we need to add these usings here. Okay, it's all green now. So that should work. So, and all we need to do to get the hosted service running is to register it in the DI container. So we add it as a singleton, add iHosted service and the actual class. And now it should work. That's all right, .NET run. It's launching, it's up and running. Yep, so all 2 seconds, it logs an entry out. So now it does some more and it still logs. So it works in the background. You can use these to do some background tasks, fetching some data from somewhere, or whatever you want to do in the background. So I really like this this feature. So let's stop it and unstop. We have this log output here, hosted services stopping. Any questions about that? If not, we'll go to the next topic. So the next one is middlewares. So also create a new project, and it's in this case an empty web project. It's not MVC here, it's web, which is an empty one. And then open that in code. And if we have that's the wrong folder, sorry. And if you open the startup, we already see two middlewares, I think, one or two. Yep, we see two different middlewares here. You have this middleware which renders out a string, which is only hello world in text format. And we have this developer exception page, which is also a middleware that checks for errors in the pipeline here. So we can put some things into the pipeline, some more middlewares to show how middlewares are working. So the ordering matters here. That's important to know. So the first middleware gets executed as first one, and the second one as its second place, and that's the last one. So we have two different kind of middlewares. We have the app use middlewares, which are calling a next middleware. The next one is this one. And also this is calling the next middleware, which is that middleware here. And this middleware doesn't continue to another middleware. So it stops here, the pipeline stops. And the execution gets back up through all the middleware. So we see that in a second. So let's run that. So it's running. Yeah. So, yep, that's the first string. The second string, that's the string of the first middleware from the second middleware. That's the last one, and it goes back. So we can create a lot more middlewares. For example, a real world scenario is a stopwatch. You can add a stopwatch here. This is the same thing as the other one, but it actually does something maybe useful. So it measures the execution time here and writes out the time needed. Let's rerun that. Okay. Now it says we need 17 milliseconds, and now it's cached, almost cached. So it's working. We can do some more with middlewares. We can add routing, something like routing. So it's custom routing. So I define a middleware which is mapped on that route here. So we can continue the pipeline inside this map, and the same with the different map. And no one wants to use these kind of middlewares. I think the most common way to create middlewares is to create a middleware class. I'll do the same method here, same class, sorry. This is a stopwatch middleware class. It's a normal stupid class here. And usually you should write a nice extension method to use this middleware. So we can write app dot use stopwatch, that one. So this should work as well. So I don't demo that because we are running out of time, I think. One more interesting thing are the next topic, I think, the output formatters. Let's go to that one. Yep. I create a new MVC page. MVC project and cd to that.
So Jürgen, while you're setting up this demo, and we get into the last few minutes here, some folks were asking, yep, why would you set up a certificate in ASP.NET Core instead of using IIS or Nginx as a proxy?
Maybe I'd self-host this application, or it's just hosted in Kestrel running somewhere. I'm talking about running the web without an IIS or Nginx or something like this. So
sure, it's nice when you're in a network container, and you don't really need all that front end ceremony with Nginx or IIS.
Exactly.
Then when you showed us a little bit about using AutoFac, that isn't really needed, right? That's nice to have if you really need some of those extended features of AutoFac for dependency injection. What kinds of things do you see using AutoFac in that model for? You know, what are the real things that make you say, "Oh my gosh, yes, this is why I need to use AutoFAC.
Yeah, AutoFAC. I use AutoFAC because it's an easy demo, because they already implemented a service provider. But I really like the features of Ninject, for example, to auto-register classes and services from different assembly. I can tell Ninject, please look in this directory and load me all the needed to, services. That's a nice feature of Ninject. And you can use any other DI container, which, for example, has this feature inside. AutoFAC is also a pretty simple one, like the ASP.NET Core Dependency Injection Container.
Very cool. Yeah, we're just about out of time. We've got about 5 more minutes. So I'll let you wrap up your demo there and take it away.
Okay, thanks. So, yeah, I created the output format assemble project. I opened that in code. And create a simple API controller. So let's do it here on your file. I call it persons controller. Oh, no, it won't work here. So persons controller.cs. Paste in the class. I also create a person class. I put it into the same file here. Keep it simple. And I add an action to the controller. So formatting won't work here. Ah, now it does. So we also need genfoo.net add package genfoo. So that gets passed in. Until then, I add some dependencies using this. That should be in now. Yeah, no. Code needs some time. Okay, using genfoo. And we have a persons controller here. The goal is to register output formatters to not only output the persons in a JSON format, but maybe in CSV or in a vCard output as well. So what I need to do is to register some output formatters. This is done in startup, right? Yes, it's done in startup in the registration of MVC. So I had some MVC options. Need that. So this doesn't work currently. I need to add the output formatter classes. So first one is the vCard formatter. Paste that in here. And the second one is a CSV output format. So for the CSV part, I need another dependency, which is CSV helper. And while this gets in, I can start to add the usings. This is Microsoft.net, encoding a system text. Yep. So the person is on the controller side. Here we need the logger and the CSV writer. The code needs some more time to think about the CSV helper here. So this is needed, system.io. So now it should work. So just the two different output formatter. One is a vCard, the other one is CSV output formatter. So here we have wrong registration. So let's see how it works. That was pretty fast. Sometimes namespaces get confused in the startup. So come on. Yeah, looks good. So the web is still running, hopefully. And I already prepared the requests in Postman. So Postman is a nice tool to do web API requests. So here we have a request to the person's controller. So I try to do a application JSON. That's the default behavior here. So I send the GET request to the person's controller and get a nice JSON result. And if I change that to text, come on, text CSV, then I get a CSV result. So we accept different formats here. So when we say accept CSV, we get CSV. And if you say want to have text vCard, we get the vCard result. Now we have real vCards. We can import that in Outlook and so on. So this is a nice way to change to various outputs, like Excel or Word. I also did a Word output formatter.
That is awesome stuff, Jürgen. It's great to see that the output formatters in ASP.NET Core and Web API are still there, and there's still great things that we can use, right? So that a Web API can learn from what type it is that you're requesting and just respond and reformat stuff without you as an API author having to go and write all of that translation stuff like I might do if I was writing it with a Razor page, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Do you have a list of resources for us here as we wrap up the session?
Yeah, I have all the stuff in GitHub. So let's have a look. So it's all here.
There it is.
I created a repository with all the stuff and all the demos.
It's up that way. So very cool stuff. Thank you so much, Jürgen, for joining us here at .NET Conf. We really appreciate you taking time, presenting, walking us through all this stuff. For everybody in the chat room, if you like what you saw, this will be archived and it'll be over on YouTube a little bit later. And we're going to be rerunning all of .NET Conf all weekend long. You're going to be able to watch anything that you may have missed, or if it was airing during a time zone that wasn't during a time that wasn't good for your time zone, you'll be able to check it out. So thanks so much, Jürgen. We really appreciate it. And we'll catch you later, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. And we're going to disconnect. Fantastic. There we go. So Brady and I are here. My name is Jeff Fritz, and he's sliding right in. Brady Gaster. Hello, hello.
How's it going, everybody?
Good morning. It is now, we're closing in on 6 a.m. Pacific time. This is, we're into hour 13 of the 24 hours of .NET Conf. Good morning, ThinkBot Labs. Great to see you. We've got some more great content coming up. We're going to be bringing in Edward Thompson in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. He's out in London, right?
Mm-hmm. No, Cambridge.
Cambridge. Okay, so you've got them all set to go over there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a quick break while we get Edward dialed in. Hope you stick around with us for the next hour. Sliding right in, a strange name. Yes, there he is, Brady Gaster. And there he goes. So stay tuned. We're going to get Edward all set up here, and we'll see you in just a minute.